Welcome to the Bardcast. It's Shakespeare, you dick. We are your hosts. I am Lisa Ann Goldsmith.
And I am Owen Thompson.
And today's episode is called Swan Shakespeare. Now, you may think, why Swan Shakespeare?
Well, as most of you, undoubtedly, perhaps all of you know, Shakespeare is often referred to as the Swan of Avon, first by Ben Jonson in the First Folio, who referred to him as the sweet Swan of Avon. Swan of Avon.
That's right. And also, there are swans in the Avon River in Stratford in the UK, which we told you guys about last year when we were there. They're beautiful. So we wanted to know more about those swans. They're gorgeous, majestic birds, and they've been around forever, and they're connected with our favorite guy. So our guest today is Don Schroder, who is my partner, who is, oh no, I shouldn't say that. Say your last name.
Why? So our,
I don't know. Why? Because some people are crazy.
Well, we mention people's last names all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
We mention our own last name. Every single podcast.
You're absolutely right. All right. Yeah. Well, our guest is Don Schroder.
Hey, if they come looking for you, they're going to find me.
That is the truth. And you guys know
Jesus
Don.
Christ.
He's been on the podcast.
Paranoid
before.
Much? If they're going to listen, if they're going to take us out, we're all going to go. So
you guys,
I'm just saying,
no brain power left.
All right, we got to rein this in. We got swans.
Okay. All right. So anyway, Don is an animal guy. And so we asked him to do some research for us on the swans of Avon.
So
I have a little skin in the game, though, because as you all know, my wife is named Lita. So, you know, there's a swan connection there, too. Just saying.
Certainly is.
So when we were in Stratford, I was very impressed by the swans, the large number of swans, and they're very physically impressive birds. And I know a lot about a lot of different kinds of animals, but I didn't know much about swans. And the swan motif is really present in Stratford. You know, there's we ate at that pub, the White Swan, and it was delicious. You know, it seems that swans are very heavy in the symbolism of Britain, and there seems to be a lot of history there. And, you know, I had heard rumblings of the Queen owning all of the swans in Britain, which is much more interesting than you might think. And I'll tell you a little bit more a little further in. But so I just got really curious about swans and decided to sort of do a deep dive into the swans of Stratford and to see, you know, what the deal was. So the specific swans that inhabit the bulk of the swans in Stratford are called mute swans, and they're some of the largest species of swan. They aren't really mute. They are just less vocal than a lot of other species of swan. So, you know, again, more comparative than anything else, but they are some of the largest swans. They're the swans you think of when you think of a swan. They are the big white birds with the orange bill and the black knob just in front of the eyes. So they're very, you know, they're a good animal to have on a coat of arms, and they have appeared on numerous coats of arms and, you know, standards and banners throughout history. So again, I decided to check it out and see, you know, have they always been in Britain? There seems to be a lot of history there. And the answer is yes. There is fossil evidence of swans in Britain, in East Anglia in particular, going back tens of thousands of years. So there have always been swans in Britain. There have been swans all over the Northern Hemisphere. And that is one of the reasons why they're so incorporated into so many different, you know, civilizations, myths, and symbolism. So I know I mentioned, you know, they are considered the property of the queen. It's not all swans in Britain that are actually the property of the sovereign of England. As it transpires, it's only unmarked swans. There was a practice where swans were branded, or rather had symbols carved into their bills to indicate ownership.
Good Lord.
Yes. So, you know, bevies or wedges of swans were kept as It's similar to beef cattle, and it was almost like they were branded, but instead of being branded, they had symbols carved into their bills, and there were hundreds of these swan marks that could be purchased. You could purchase the right.
And were they, I mean, were they protect, I mean, obviously they're the property of the king now, since
Yes, ownership has transferred to Charles upon Elizabeth's
Mr.
death.
Bad Ears is now the king. Was it sort of like the deer that were the property of the crown back in the day? Or like, I know that various lords and such would have preserve rights to certain animals. I mean, in the Robin Hood story, obviously that's how Robin Hood gets in trouble, by shooting a deer that doesn't, you know, that he's not allowed to shoot.
Yes, and that's a big part of it. You had to, I mean, swans were nearly wiped out, and then they were kept as poultry by wealthy landowners, and populations were brought back, but it was always the wealthy that had access to swans, and you could purchase the right to own and to consume swan, but it was largely forbidden to lower class people.
Right. Wasn't swan, I mean, maybe, forgive me if I'm getting too far ahead, or if I'm, maybe you're coming to this, but like, swans were like a big feature of medieval and Renaissance banquets, right?
Yeah, to some extent, I read so much to kind of prepare for this. I read that young swan was preferable to a like full adult swan. Apparently it's more tender. I actually found an Elizabethan recipe for baked swan.
Oh, hey Owen, do you know what a young swan is called?
Cygnet, right?
That's right. Do you know?
That is, and much less often called swanlings.
Oh, I
Or,
like swanlings.
I know I like
Cygnet
swanlings too. Apparently,
sounds cool
however,
though.
that
It
so
does.
swan meat was regarded as a luxury food in England during the reign of Elizabeth I. So, and this is a recipe for baked swan from that time. To bake a swan, scald it and take out the bones and parboil it, then season it very well with pepper, salt, and ginger, then lard it and put it in a deep coffin of rye paste with store of butter. Close it and bake it very well. And when it is baked, fill up the vent hole with melted butter and so keep it. Serve it in as you do the beef pie.
Wow.
My favorite part of
Interesting.
that recipe is the instruction to bake it very well.
Yes. Yeah, that's
Like, no,
specific.
I because I, well, I well, until I got to that point, I was just going to do a shitty job. But thank you for keeping my nose to the grindstone,
You like
medieval recipe.
that's an early attempt at food safety
Jesus
standards.
Christ,
I imagine
what is this
undercooked
like?
swan was
Like,
probably pretty bad.
was that Sir Gordon Ramsay write that fucking cookbook?
I don't believe
Jesus.
so. So again, swans have always been present probably in the Avon River, even before there were Englishmen there, because that river is sort of perfect for their preferred habitat. They like shallow, relatively shallow, slow-moving water with a lot of vegetation that they can reach the bottom of, and that is that entire river. And so it's kind of a perfect place for them, which is why they've always been there and why they've always been so synonymous with Stratford, and why they would have been possibly mentioned in the same breath as Shakespeare, who was also a symbol of Stratford in a similar way.
It actually.
Apparently there's a feature-length documentary called Swans on the Avon, which is by a couple that live in Stratford, Alan and Karen Gough, so Gough for Gow, but that would be
Yeah,
cool to
but
see. I would
it
love to see
actually.
that, especially after I did all this reading.
It
No kidding.
actually makes me it actually makes me really happy to know that the swans are genuinely indigenous, because I this is the way my mind thinks. When I visited Stratford in the past, even knowing that Shakespeare is called the Swan of Avon, and it makes sense that they would be indigenous, I'm like, does the government, like, you know, fly in swans and build habitats for them to like brand this? So I'm glad that it's like an organic thing and not some bullshit.
Well, the other thing is they're kind of always there, whereas the other species will like come in for the winter, but then they breed up north in like the Arctic. But the mute swans, they also breed in Stratford, and we saw nests when we were there in the winter. They weren't, I don't think, being used at the time. I don't think that's the right time of year, but I definitely saw nests that were probably used year after year by the same people.
I'm sure. I mean, I've been there at all different times of the year, and like they're there by the hundreds, no matter when you're there.
I
That's
did
right, because we
find
were there in the
some.
winter.
Yeah, we were there, when it should have been some of the coldest of the year, but it was very mild when we were there, and the birds were pretty well represented, I think.
Very well.
So again, just some like general mute swan facts. They're some of the largest swans, which again makes them some of the largest, heaviest birds capable of flight. Their scientific name is Cygnus olor, which is Latin for swan plus
Oh,
Old Celtic for
that's where
swan.
cygnet come from.
Yes. There was actually a species that was native. Well, fossils of an extinct species very similar have been found in Malta. And a fun fact is there were elephants living on Malta, dwarf elephants living on Malta that were
Oh my
actually
God.
shorter in stature than these large flightless swans that live there.
Wow, little tiny elephants.
Yes. So imagine a small elephant getting water from a lagoon as a giant swan is sitting next to it. Just a fun, weird little. So, they've had weirder neighbors than, the British and of Stratford before.
I smell a Pixar movie.
Yeah,
I
no
know,
kidding.
right?
Why hasn't anybody made this? I didn't find any information about why they think those ones were flightless. They weren't that much smaller than the mute swans of today. But everything I saw suggested they were flightless. They can live up to 30 years, even in the wild, which is a pretty
Wow.
impressive lifespan for a wild bird. But 10 is more average. So again, there's a pretty wide range there. Up to 7.5 foot wingspan, which is a pretty impressive wingspan, and you would expect that for a big bird that flies. Not truly mute, but they do, they're not nearly as vocal as most other swan species.
I read an article that said that in 2021, like half of them died because of avian flu.
Yes, and actually, because of all the different sources that I looked at for this, they were like celebrating like a population high point in 2020, and then in 2021, like half of the
Yeah.
population was killed by bird flu.
So
So
awful.
there's a man named Cyril Bennis, who was the former mayor of Stratford, and after his term ended, although I really had trouble finding any information about him as mayor, but I think after his tenure as mayor ended, he became like the unofficial swan warden of Stratford and has been functioning in that capacity for basically my entire life.
Well,
I think.
there's something called Stratford Swan Rescue, apparently, that
Yes.
he started.
Yes, which originally was like a site behind one of the hotels in Stratford, but has since expanded to a larger facility and a more substantial undertaking. He seems like an interesting character. I gather that there was some controversy with him politically. Maybe he
Oh,
spent
who
some money.
knows? He was a politician. He
I
could have done
know
anything.
it seemed like not a lot of money for a politician to get up in a twist about, but maybe things are different over there.
Well, guess
So,
what? Guess what, though, Don? I found online when I was doing my 5 minutes of research, apparently on Monday, May 15th, at the White Swan Hotel, he is giving a talk called The Swans of Stratford.
how fun. I wonder if that's going to be streamed or anything.
I
Because again,
doubt
I
it. It's at the
totally
White
love to
Swan,
watch the
but
White Swan Hotel where we have all had a
that's
meal.
right. That's
It's
right.
one
And it
of our
was
favorite little
delicious.
spots there, yes.
Maybe
I
we
know, it was
should
great.
go. We should go hear him talk.
This weekend? Yeah, sure.
Well, May,
Oh, it's in
it's
May.
yeah, it's May 15th.
Oh,
So not summer prices quite yet.
okay. So some other interesting things about the swans of Stratford. They can actually be very aggressive, like dangerously aggressive at certain times of year if they feel threatened. So when we were there, Lisa Ann, I know I mentioned to be wary of the Canada geese because Canada geese are famously aggressive and can be
Yeah.
quite dangerous when provoked. Well, as it transpires, so can swans. And it turns out that swans' favorite way of dealing with interlopers, including people, is by charging them. They will bite, and they have a serrated bill. They don't have teeth. Birds don't have teeth, but they have a serrated bill, and smaller animals they will actually grab and throw, like a duck that's bothering them. They will pick it up and just throw it. Which, that never occurred to me that a swan could be so aggressive. But there was an instance in 2012 where a man in Chicago, where mute swans have been introduced, they're not native to North America, but they've been introduced here and are in fact considered an invasive species throughout a lot of North America. But a man who worked for one of those companies that uses border collies to control waterfowl.
Yeah.
He was in a canoe and was attacked by a mute swan who knocked him from the canoe and harassed him until he drowned.
Oh
So
my
a 30,
God.
37-year-old man in 2012 killed by a mute swan. So
So
they can be dangerous, so they
they're
shouldn't be
murderers,
approached by
basically.
little. They're not murderers, Owen. They don't go around looking for 37-year-old men to kill.
I'm just saying.
They felt threatened enough that they knocked him from the canoe. And it was probably a male that did that. The males are the ones that usually defend while on the water. So it was likely a male. The males are usually larger than the females. That's not true for all birds. Some females are larger than males in a lot of different bird species, but in swans, males are larger. Their nests are enormous. They're like up to 13 feet across. And again, we saw some of those sites in Stratford. And it's probable that those same sites are used by the same couples year after year after year. They come back and they're monogamous. One of the reasons
Yeah, I was
that
going to say
swans are.
they mate for life, right?
Yes, most swan species do mate for life, and mute swans have a very elaborate courtship that they do where they face each other with their necks curved in a traditional kind of heart shape. So that's, how many times have you seen that
Oh
image
yeah,
of
oh my
two
God.
swans face to face? That's a reflection of a real behavior that they do. And interestingly, part of this courtship behavior, even though they're called mute swans, they do vocalize quite a bit. And they will do a song that is more in sync the more bonded they are. So, a mated pair that's been together for years, their song will be more in sync than dating swans. So, you can actually kind of tell from how synonymous a pair of swan songs are, how close they are as a couple, which I thought was really beautiful. Like,
That is really beautiful.
their songs sync up.
So they're murderous but romantic.
There, so okay.
Oh, and have you ever been in love? We're all murderous and romantic.
Don't forget that all birds are just dinosaurs that have, grown feathers and lost their teeth.
That's
So
an
it
excellent
is
point.
still in swans to behave like a velociraptor under certain circumstances, and they sometimes do. There was
Can they open doors? I
wouldn't put it
Because
past them. They could certainly
apparently
crash through a window
velociraptors
if
can
they
open
will.
doors.
There
If the
was
movies have taught me anything.
there was a particular mute swan in Pembroke, Wales, home of the Pembroke Welsh Corgi, called Mr. Nasty, who was responsible for the deaths of over 20 other swans. One swan
Oh my God.
systematically killed 20 other swans
So they
because they're
are
territorial.
murderers.
They're territorial. Stay away, stay out of their way, and they'll leave you be. But this swan meant it.
Right. Well, clearly,
So that swan
Mr.
was not
Nasty.
taking any shit from anybody.
Wow.
So other than so, I was curious. I'm always curious about, what hardships animals face, and certainly animals living in close proximity with people, as these swans do in a place like Stratford that's been settled for hundreds and hundreds of years, there's bound to be conflicts. The mute swans don't have any real natural predators in the UK, especially like in
Right, of course not, because if you prey on them, they murder you.
That is part
Of
of it.
course, they
But
don't have any natural
actually, I
predators.
saw an image, and I wish I would have like Googled it and brought it up. But I've seen an image of some nesting swans killed a fox that had tried to raid their nest, and they
Oh,
just built the
wow.
nest on top of the fox's carcass and just continued to nest there despite there being a mol a rotten rotting fox underneath.
Oh
The swans, I mean, again, and like
Wow.
foxes in the UK are kind of the biggest land predator, so that's really, that's like the closest thing they have to worry about.
So
But
we're, I
big
mean, we're getting
dogs.
into we're getting into honey badger territory with the swan
Well,
now.
you know what? I think it suits Will Shakespeare because he was a badass.
But they, I thought that was really interesting.
Fair.
They look sweet, but they can really like they can kill you. They can drown large breed dogs. Like if people's dogs are off leash, as we saw dozens of off leash dogs in Stratford, a swan can drown a large breed dog if they can force it underwater and hold it there. So again, they're not as harmless as their graceful and, pleasant nature would lead you to believe.
I've actually always heard that they were aggressive, but I had no idea of the level. Now I have a this provokes a question that I wish I hadn't thought of, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So, given what we know about the proclivities of sports, a term I use in a loose sense, in Elizabethan England and before and after, for that matter, is there any record of swans being used, in a kind of like a cockfighting gladiatorial way?
Nothing that I found. They certainly weren't shy about, throwing a pair of. There were swan pits, but those swan pits were semi-aquatic, basically a corral for captive swans that were used for food.
Ah, okay.
So
So they didn't
those were the
they
only.
didn't like they there were no like professional fighting swans or
No,
swan
they didn't want
battles.
to fuck them up because they wanted to eat them.
Yeah, so most of the swans you see are going to be like a mated pair and they're young. They don't normally gather in large groups unless they're like single adults that are, eventually presumably going to pair off. So that's largely just, yeah. And again, they're monogamous. They mate for life. There are instances of swan divorces happening.
Oh,
Although,
do
yeah, we need to
tell.
know about that. We need to know about swan divorce.
There have been recorded instances, especially if there was a failure to produce offspring, where swan couples have effectively broken up and have sought other mates. Yeah, it
I mean,
happens. Nature is cruel.
like, I don't know, irreconcilable fish rinses. I mean, what are the
I'm calling shenanigans on that.
One just egged on the other to leave, so.
Some other issues that swans face. So again, they're introduced here in North America, and we do have actual land predators here. So like bobcats, bears will sometimes attack swans, which can be a problem. So golden eagles will occasionally attack even relatively adult swans. So coyotes, there are predators here, so that can be an issue at least outside of the UK. But in the UK, it's mostly large dogs, but also fishermen who aren't careful enough with their lures. If swans swallow fish hooks, or weights, lead weights, there was a lot of swan loss in the, early 20th century due to lead poisoning from pollution and again
Oh.
fishing weights. Thankfully those things have been, replaced or mitigated, so populations have been springing back and have been reaching, sustainable levels again, except for instances like that, the bird flu epidemic of 2021 that wiped out half the population. I'm trying to see. I think the record in 2020 was something like 140 birds in Stratford. So at
Wow.
any given time, yeah, I mean, that is quite a few for large birds in a small town, relatively speaking, especially given how territorial they can be. So, they're probably getting along with each other in closer quarters there than they might in a lot of the rest of the world. I did see some news stories from this year. So, I mean, this year has not been going on that long, of young people who had been killing swans with catapults. And I was very curious as to what the hell that was supposed to mean. And then I did a little
String
digging.
those fuckers up.
Well, I did a little digging and realized that catapults is what they call
Yeah.
slingshots in the
Yeah,
UK.
slingshot. That's a
So
an Englishism for slingshot. Yeah.
that made it a lot. I mean, again, I don't approve of that either, but
Although
I still think they should
I
be
was
strung
gonna
up.
say, oh,
the
and I know
visual of
you
trying to
in
kill of trying to
England.
kill a swan with what we think of as a catapult, I'm like,
Yeah.
good
Like
luck.
swan-sized
I mean,
version, like 5 feet
it's a
tall.
little, yeah, exactly. I mean,
Maybe some sort of trebuchet, like a
yeah,
little, yeah.
exactly. It's I think the swans are gonna fly away before the big
They'll certainly move
stone
out
ball
very
lands.
quickly. So again, they were birds of aristocracy for a long time, and you had to purchase the right to be able to eat them. And all unmarked swans, particularly on the River Thames, are considered property of the crown. And it's really kind of a conservation thing at this point. There are other animals as well that are placed under the protection of the crown. I think dolphins and some other marine species are also considered under the protection of the crown and the property of the crown, even though it's really a symbolic
Now,
gesture
can
in
I want to I'm just conjecturing
any
here,
manner.
but I'm noticing a pattern in terms of like look at the animals that are under like the protection or the ownership or whatever you want to call it of the crown. Swans, dolphins, deer. You notice they're all like particularly cool looking, beautiful animals. Like
I
you
mean,
don't hear about like moles being under the protection of the crown, let's say.
or
Well, you know,
anteaters. Moles also do pretty well. I don't think they need the protection as much as a big white slow-moving bird that likes to hang out in shallow water like by people for hundreds of
I'm just
years.
saying that there's the other thing about the swan, and we'll get to symbolism and all of that, but I think the reason that you find swans on more coats of arms and in more, the little heart thing that they do, like you see they're just used for branding more than say geese, because they're cooler looking. They're just cooler looking.
They're a very dramatic looking animal and a
They
very
are.
dramatic looking bird, and I think that's why I wanted to, because again, it's especially somewhere that has had people living in it for so long. For any large species of animal to live there long term is a pretty impressive feat. And again, there have been swans there for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And although we've almost wiped them out, we as a species have almost wiped them out multiple times, they've always managed to bounce back. And I just think that's really cool. And again, they live for a long time. And I can see why they're used in so much symbolism. The ugly duckling fable about a cygnet who, again, they're not all that appealing as young birds, and then they grow their adult feathers surprisingly quickly. They get their adult plumage like within a year of being born. Like it's pretty quick. And they get adult size within like 3 months of hatching. I'm like, wow, that's a really rapid growth rate for a
Wow.
large bird, Again, I was finding all these weird little inconsistencies about them, but because they're monogamous, they've always been a symbol of love and, devotion. Swan couples where one of them dies will the other will often go into a mourning period. They'll mourn young that die. If one of their young is taken by a predator, they will mourn it, visibly, like in a way that we can recognize and empathize with, because
Oh.
we've been aware of swans for so long and sort of their different moods that we can kind of, we can't read them as well as we can read dogs, for example, but I think a mourning swan would be pretty apparent, especially if it's a pair grieving over a lost young one. And again, they will, if one of them dies after the mourning period, the other parent will take over rearing young if there are young. If there are no young at the time, the widow or widower may leave and join a flock and possibly seek a new mate over time. So, they're sort of enduring symbols of love because there aren't that many animals in nature that are truly monogamous and like travel great distances together and things like that. But, these swan couples really do spend the bulk of their time together for their entire lives, unless those lives are cut short by something. Swan Lake, I know, is a very famous ballet. I don't actually know anything about Swan Lake, but I know it's one of the,
Suffice it to say, there's a swan.
there's at least one. I think there's more than
There's a
one.
black swan in there, isn't there? I think
There
there's a
was a
black
whole movie
swan.
about that. There's a whole movie about that. It's
And
very freaky.
I've never seen Black Swan, but I heard it's really good. The only black
Some of
swan
it's really
I love are
good.
the Australian swans.
Yeah. Hey, Owen, when I did that like 3 minutes of research and I put Swans of Stratford into Google, I found a website called, you're going to love this, www.oxfraud.com.
Oh yeah, I know about that website.
It's great. So
Uh-huh.
they have a whole section on the swans of Avon and how they're full of bullshit. I love it.
The swans are full of bullshit?
No,
The
the
swans are
Oxford.
full of swan shit. Let's
That's
be
right.
clear.
No, the Oxfordians are full of
Oh,
bullshit.
I see. Yes, I would agree with that.
That's right. It's fun. You should look at it.
I will. I haven't been to that site in a while, but I appreciate their work.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So yeah, I mean, swans have been all across. Interestingly, they're temperate species. They don't exist in the tropics. And my like ecosystem themed mind is wondering if it has something to do with the existence of like crocodilians in the tropics. If I was a swan, I wouldn't want to live where there were alligators or crocodiles. So you will only find swans in temperate waters for the most part, except for occasional visitors to, accidental visitors to the tropics. So societies all across the temperate regions of the world have incorporated swans into their myths and legends and folk tales and coats of arms and, all of that just from them being a constant background presence, all across predominantly the northern hemisphere, but interestingly, no swans in Africa. Again, I'm blaming the crocodiles, but I could be wrong. But no known populations of swans anywhere on the entire giant continent of Africa, which I thought was, between the crocodiles and the pythons, I would probably want to stay away from there if I was a swan too, but who knows?
I was just looking. There's a Facebook page called Stratford-upon-Avon Swan Rescue. You were talking about dogs before, and apparently it seems like in August of 2023, two dogs attacked three cygnets.
It happens a lot. And
And they
again,
all died. And people are like, dogs should be on leash.
when we were there, how many dogs, and we saw dogs in kind of tense confrontations with adult swans, where the swans weren't behaving aggressively, but they were, it turns out, more than capable of defending themselves if they had to be. Apparently, off-leash dogs are just really cool.
All
We saw
over.
them in London, for crying out loud. We saw them in downtown central London, like
That makes me so sad, though. Don't let your dogs off leash.
big dogs in particular are like the primary cause of death of swans in the UK. Off-leash big dogs. But again, Even large dogs have been drowned by angry swans, so they're
I
not.
don't feel so bad anymore for
Well,
those
it's nice
dog
to know they're
owners.
not totally helpless, because again, they're so graceful and beautiful and timeless, and the mute ones are quiet, you know, like they just seem so serene and regal,
And graceful and beautiful.
and it seems a shame, you know. It's not like dogs are clean fighters, you know. Like, I'm sure it's very awful and distressing when a dog and a swan are,
Oh.
you know, in a disagreement.
Oh God.
And,
I want to
you
think
know,
about it.
swans and dogs have both been killed in those conflicts. It's interesting, and this is kind of a sidebar, but kangaroos will also go into water when confronted by dogs. And if the dogs follow the kangaroos into the water, the kangaroos will try to force the dog underwater to drown it.
Wow.
So it's not just geese that do this. It's like species that live near water sometimes will adapt to using water as a tool to
I guess you
defend
got to
themselves.
do what you can, right?
I mean, and again, when I read reports of geese, of swans, you know, grabbing and throwing smaller birds,
Jesus.
it conjures quite an image, because, you know, swans have that long, graceful neck.
I
Some
know
of
it's like high lie.
yeah, and they have more vertebrae in the neck than a lot of others, than some other bird species do. But just, can you imagine, like, seeing one of them grab like a mallard duck and just pitch it?
No.
So again,
I can see it. It's actually pretty amusing to think about it.
yeah. So
But now I have
I
a
see why
question.
people are interested in them, and I see why people take steps to ensure that they stay, that they remain.
Yes. So there's actually surprisingly few actual references to swans in, like, direct references to swans in
Truth.
Shakespeare, but a recurring theme is the fact that they, or I will ask you if it is a fact, the idea that they sing when they die. You know, there's a line in Othello. It's Amelia saying, "What did thy song bode, lady? Hark, canst thou hear me? I will play the swan and die in
Yeah.
music." And in Merchant of Venice, "Let music sound while he doth make his choice. Then if he lose, he will make a swan-like end." So, is there some truth to that, that swans
So,
make music as they die?
no, I mean, no species is truly mute. They all do some, and in fact, if you look at, you know, of course, this is one of the, I had to cut off the facts somewhere from my list, and I didn't. There are several words in several languages that are swan or savan or something similar, and they all mean to sing. So that is sort of
Oh.
synonymous with swan, you know. But I could imagine people, certainly in antiquity, who have seen mute swans, but maybe don't have them, aren't in close proximity with them, maybe aren't aware of how much they do vocalize. You know, I could see how a legend would spring up about a swan being silent until it sings before death, just being based on, you know, a particular single event that happened, or, you know, just something like that, because a lot of human views on animals stem from momentary misunderstandings like that. So that would be my guess,
So
if I had to
it's a
guess.
legend. It's a that's
I
I
mean,
think
listen,
so.
anything that's dying makes noise. We had a little tiny turtle when I was 9 who was dying, and it was screaming.
Hermit crabs make no noise when they die. Fun fact. I have seen a
What, so
hermit
what,
crab pass away and they are utterly silent. But the whole
what?
no vocal cords thing really,
I was going to say,
yeah.
do hermit crabs ever make a sound?
No, I
No.
mean, not except
But I
by
mean
buzzing.
animals that are capable of making sound. You know, if they're in pain, they're going to vocalize.
I mean, it's true that vocalization is a common sign of pain in a lot of animals, but again, not 100% of the time. But again, I'm guessing that probably was a pattern of some type that was noticed, whether
What I'm
mistaken or not.
I mean, is there such a thing as like the party crab as opposed to the hermit crab that like just like won't shut up?
Are you aware of any of like the, I mean, again, we're getting off swans, but there are some places in the world where there are massive crab migrations. There's a place called Christmas Island that has a famous like land crab migration where just thousands and thousands of crabs cross this small island on their way from one place to
Oh
another.
my God.
Yeah, pretty
Yeah.
horrifying. I mean, they're harmless crabs, but it's a sight. So yeah. That's swans in a nutshell. They've always been in England. They figure big in legend, and literature. And hopefully they are always around because I don't want there to be a world with no swans or swan-like birds.
Oh, that would suck.
Yeah, there's only like six species. We need to keep the ones we have.
Totally. I
And
think everybody should go to the Save the Swans Facebook page that I was.
that's six species of swans down from how many?
Well, there are numerous extinct, like we have fossil, there are orders of magnitude more fossils of extinct swan species than there are like remaining swan species. And even the remaining swan species, it doesn't seem like there are a ton of like subspecies of them. So, the mute swan, there's no subspecies of mute swan. It's just the mute swan. So, in theory, you could take two mute swans from anywhere in the world, and in theory, they should be able to breed because they should be genetically similar enough to do so, even if they're from dissimilar places. A lot of animals will have subspecies where, if they're too far from one another, they can no longer, I mean, usually at a species level, they can still breed and subspecies should still be able to breed. But again, all of the mute swans, same species, no known subspecies. But the giant flightless ones, they think, are of similar type to a mute swan and probably looked like a somewhat larger ground-dwelling mute swan. And then there are fossil remains of similar mute swans in North America. So they may have been here at some point. Their ancestors may have been here. But now we have a different kind of swan that's native to North America. So.
And if, but now that mute swans have been reintroduced into North America, can they interbreed with, say, trumpeter swans?
They cannot. They are too distantly related from one another. In fact, interestingly, mute swans are genetically more closely related to the southern hemisphere swans, the black swans of Australia and the black-necked swans of South America. So they're actually, they'd be, if anything, more likely to be able to breed with one of them, but they are too distantly related to the trumpeter swans. And in some places, they exist in direct competition with the trumpeter swans, and they're of similar size. So
Oh, you
again,
know some shit's going to go down then.
yes, and the trumpeter swans were actually almost wiped out as well. They were like almost extinct, and they are more kind of sensitive. They're not as likely to inhabit close proximity with humans. So the mute swans that we now have in North America are considered an invasive species and can outcompete native wildlife for, limited resources and things like that. I saw estimated population growth of up to 10% per year, which is not sustainable long term. Thankfully, there are some predators here to keep some of their numbers in check. But still, 10% population growth a year. That's, we're going to be drowning in mute swans before too long.
Better than the lantern flies.
But they're not protected, I don't believe, here. They're considered an invasive species. They're protected throughout much of their natural range, including much of Britain, and not just through royal decree.
I guess we should be glad that the mute swans can't interbreed with the lantern flies. That would
That's
be
right.
horrifying.
That would be horrifying.
We're supposed to have two simultaneous broods of cicada that emerge at the
Oh,
same time
fucking
of
kill
year.
me now.
And if those could interbreed with the lantern flies and the stink bugs, we would just have to abandon this continent.
Listen, anything that gestates under the ground for 17 years, hatches and lives for 2 weeks, I have no use for.
Ugh. And they're so noisy.
And they leave carcasses all over.
It's going to be another bad deck year, I think.
Oh no. Well, on
Oh,
that note, listeners, go check out our website at www.thebardcastdudick.com. You can join us on all of our social media. We have links there. Or if you have some extra money that you would like to donate to a worthy cause, our favorite podcast charities are there. Or if you want to support us, we are a federal 501c3. So anything that you donate to us is completely tax deductible.
right. And if you and those that the, those that support us by joining us as subscribers and go to our Patreon page, of course, receive swag. And perhaps we will think about swan swag after today.
Ooh, swan swag.
Speaking of swan swag, there is
Or you could call
actually
that swang.
you can actually get swan swag that it's like Ghostbusters themed, but it's for that Cyril Bennis guy, the former
Oh,
mayor's
yeah.
office warden. So you can get these Ghostbusters themed, and it's who you're gonna call Cyril Bennis, because like people call him when they find injured swans and he
Oh,
there's aid and succor. So
that's very
yeah,
cute.
he may be a somewhat controversial political figure, but he also rescues injured swans. So how bad can he be?
If it's
I
the
say
ghost,
su support Cyril Bennis.
but if
Yeah.
it's Ghostbusters themed, it sounds like that people would call him if they found if they were being haunted by dead swans.
Shouldn't we all be so lucky as to be haunted by dead swans? No,
I
just
think so.
all right, so let's try this closer together. Are we ready?
Terrible. It's going
Sure.
to be terrible.
It's going to be awful.
It's
And
always
remember,
terrible.
all right, can I get it out?
You can try.
And remember,
It's
it's
Shakespeare,
Shakespeare,
you
you dick.
dick.
I think
I
Owen
forgot
might.
you guys were doing it slower these days.
We're
Oh.
not. Owen just tries to fuck with me so we can never get
No,
it on time.
I'm just trying to I'm trying to wait and sync it up. It never works.
I was trying to do it listening to you upstairs, but I couldn't do
Nobody can do this
it.
unison thing on Zoom. Everybody knows that. It's not our fault, Rodney.
That's right. That's right. Fuck Zoom.
Hey, I think that it's part of the charm, and you should never, ever, ever do away with the out of sync attempts.
That's right. And Zoom, we're joking. We'd love to do a commercial for you.
Of course, yes, we would. Sure.
The preceding podcast was a production of Country Matters Incorporated. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.